Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
Linda Kenyon in Washington. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky may visit Washington, D.C. tomorrow. Here's CBS's Robert Costa.
Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur, the co-chair of the Congressional Ukraine Caucus, says there are ongoing serious efforts being made behind the scenes to bring Zelensky to the Capitol on Wednesday to address Congress. This would be, if he makes it, Zelensky's first time in Washington since Russia first invaded Ukraine 300 days ago.
The visit comes just as Congress is set to vote on a year-end spending package that includes emergency aid to Ukraine. The fate of a pandemic-era policy meant to deter migrants is now in the hands of the Supreme Court.
The Biden administration just asked the Supreme Court to deny the request by Republican-led states to delay the termination of the Title 42 border restrictions, saying the states are not entitled to intervene in the case. Title 42 was put in place during the pandemic. Lifting the restrictions may fuel a spike in migrant arrivals, but the administration says there's no longer a public health basis for the policy, which it calls obsolete. Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
A strong earthquake that shook awake Northern California residents early this morning has left two people dead and at least 11 others injured. Jasmine Veal reports from Los Angeles.
I thought, here we go.
The quake was followed by more than two dozen aftershocks in Humboldt County. Thousands were left without electricity and homes were damaged. Power was also out in nearby Fortuna, where the quake broke windows at some businesses and tossed products off store shelves.
The 6.4 magnitude quake struck near the small town of Ferndale, northwest of San Francisco. The Midwest is prepping for another winter storm.
The latest winter blast comes just as holiday travel kicks in. Forecasters say the Chicago area and portions of neighboring Indiana could be in line for at least a foot of snow and high wind as soon as Thursday. Karen Pride with Chicago's Department of Aviation says preparations are underway at O'Hare and Midway airports, but when the rough weather hits,
the airlines cancel flights. The airport does not. And if there are issues here and flights are not going to be allowed to come into O'Hare or Midway for a certain amount of time, that's up to the FAA.
Chicago is a major hub for those trying to make connecting flights. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
Federal authorities looking at a major car rental company.
The federal government's road safety agency says it's investigating allegations that Hertz rented vehicles to customers without getting required recall repairs. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says it has information that Hertz rented Nissan and Ford vehicles that were not repaired under safety recalls.
CBS's Jim Crisula. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Income and wealth inequality are higher in the U.S. than nearly every other country in the world. A report from a U.S. House Select Committee says that in 1965, the difference in pay between a CEO and employees was 20 to 1. Last year, that number jumped 400 to 1. The minimum wage in Wisconsin is $7.25 an hour, 29.9% of what a living wage should be in the state. An Iowa County man is facing up to 36 years in prison and $60,000 in fines or both for allegedly filing fraudulent Wisconsin income tax returns for 5 years. 55-year-old Jeffrey Hirsch is being prosecuted by the Iowa County DA's office after an investigation by the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
Cause they're the Spice Girls. Muy caliente.
Oh, they're not hitting.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Tags and 15% off 3 at Warner Stallion's year-end clearance.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook any cup anything.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Right on. Hey, we do the news here, Ogama, and there's a lot of weather news. I don't know what you got cooking today, but it's weighing heavily on us. It's national and everything. We're going to have like very cold weather here in Minnesota and very windy snow and for a couple days. And some people call that winter, and I call it, wow, I need to get a condo in Florida is what I call it. Ho-wa. So,
you know, I seen somebody post the other day, I don't know how many more Midwest winters I got in me, dog. And that's kind of how I feel. Wow. So I do have a little bit of weather news today, Robert. Bushu, everybody. This is Ogama Ganua Kwe. I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. Most of Minnesota, a big chunk of Minnesota, is in a winter storm warning. There is a wind chill advisory in effect from 6 p.m. this evening until 10 a.m. Wednesday in parts of north and central and northeast Minnesota, pretty much stretching from about, about Reamer area all the way down to just about the bottom half of Mille Lacs Lake. In that area is where we're at for the winter storm wind chill effect. But we also have a winter storm warning that's in effect from 6 a.m. on Wednesday tomorrow to noon on Saturday. That is a really long time to be in a winter storm warning. There's going to be heavy snow expected anywhere between 5 to 7 inches. Winds gusting as high as 45 miles an hour and wind chills as low as 30 below zero. That is Crow Wing, Northern Aiken and Southern Aiken counties, tribal lands of the Mille Lacs Band, Big Sandy Lake and East Lake areas. That is just for today and tomorrow. And I do believe that they are expecting that storm to also hit the metro shortly after it hits up north here. So it's going to be another doozy, right, Robert?
Yes, doozy's a good word for an old person. So that was good, Ogama. You're getting older now. A doozy, yes.
Yeah, well, the last time we had a storm like this, South Dakota, North Dakota, many of the law enforcement and weather agencies were saying things like, we are not kidding. Like, don't try to go places. You know, like, I think there's a lot of people who can't help but have to go places too. You know, we have our people who work in retail. We have our people who work in healthcare. We have our people who work in, you know, schools or other places where, you know, even if there is a winter storm warning, they're not able to get to work. They're still doing work. There are people who don't have a choice but to be out in this weather. And there also are unhoused relatives who also don't have a choice but to be out in this type of weather. So as we come into another week and another weekend of going through strong winds, cold weather, snow, and whiteout conditions into Thursday and Friday, and dangerous wind chills through Christmas, I want to remind everybody to please slow down and arrive alive, and to be kind to those relatives. You never know if the person who's driving 10 miles an hour in front of you, you know, it may be somebody with a brand new baby in the car. It may be a brand new driver. It may be an elder who is not trusting their reflexes anymore, and they want to go really slow to make sure that they're safe. Remember to be kind to those relatives and to not get angry and just blow past them and put yourself and other people in danger. And yeah, if you can, extend a handout to our unhoused relatives. Offer things if you can: socks, warm mittens, extra coats, food, and warm drinks are also always appreciated to our unhoused relatives. If you have the time, make sure you can make a donation to a local shelter or a soup kitchen for our relatives, because it is going to be dangerously cold. And I hate to see it in the news, but I know every time we have one of these big storms, Robert, we lose an unhoused relative or a small child or somebody in this type of weather.
You know, I just got to give Angelica a quick shout out for sitting in on the news yesterday for you, Ogama.
Yes.
We talked about that, and she had really good points that her mom talks about having almost like a little kit in your car, whether it's money, whether it's mittens, whether it's hats, to be able to give to our homeless people that are out there needing help. So two things with that, Ogama. I want to give Angelica a big shout out for stepping up and doing the news yesterday, and then also really contributing with a lot of really good information like that.
Yes, absolutely. And that is so important that we take that time and offer those respect to our unhoused relatives, because unhoused or housed, a relative is a relative. And we need to let go of that colonized mindset that a relative who's unable to be housed at this time is somehow less than any other relative that you would find. You know, they deserve to be warm and to be fed and taken care of just like everybody else. And unfortunately, the U.S. government system has not caught up with that yet. But as relatives and good relatives to our people, we are able to do that. And, you know, extend that to all people, you know, Mitakoyas and all people are.
You know, Ogama, too, you know, we have $17 billion, $17 billion that we can get from the government. We have money. I always talk about, you know, one B-2 bombers, $1 billion, and let's just make one less, you know?
Right.
Let's just make one less. I mean, how many times can you blow up the world and be, you know, a stealth bomber? Let's just make one less and help our relatives that are less fortunate, and, you know, be a Christian, I guess, maybe. Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's definitely some hypocrisy that I think people at this time of year, it's always important to acknowledge within some people that we need to, you know, walk our talk. And if we really believe these things, we need to take the time to take action on those things. So I do have one more piece of news here in the Resist Line 3, Stop Line 3 movement. There is another Flood the Courts event tomorrow, Wednesday, December 21st. 1st at 8:30 a.m. It is at the St. Louis County Courthouse on 5th Avenue in Duluth, Minnesota. It's been about 2 years now since construction on Line 3 started, and the court system is still cycling through water protectors. And many of the people who stood up to take a stand against Line 3 have been subjected to violence, and treaties are continuing to be dishonored. So,
oops, I think I lost you there.
Okay. I think I'm having, can you hear me?
Yeah. You sound
okay,
like.
Okay, sorry. I think my mic just went out. So hang tight with me. But Flood the Courts event in Duluth tomorrow on January 21st at 8 a.m. And there's also going to be an in-person jury trial January 10th, 11th, and 12th for the Aiken County District Court. And if you remember, I did report on Aiken County, who had their sheriff in with a bit of a news bit, basically saying that he was taking action to do illegal things against water protectors. I believe it was The Intercept or another one of those news outlets that had done something on that. But and then we also have Winona LaDuke, who's continuing in court. She is the last remaining Shell River defendant, and the court has dismissed charges against others, but the state is refusing to dismiss her case. And December 14th, she appeared in court to continue to be a guardian for the Shell River, but there's no other updates on that. So for those of you who have been looking for updates on that, we have a little bit of news on that. And then also, Robert, I don't know if you know this, but the Seminole tribe is now running the Mirage on the Las Vegas Strip. 3,000 room hotel and 80 acres is the first on the Las Vegas Strip to be run by a tribe. So congratulations to the Seminole Nation and Hard Rock International owner and operator for their new acquisition of the Mirage. And best of luck to you as you continue that.
Seminoles, stay out of our territory. That's all I have to say. Oh, who? We'll be right back. It's Hard Rock Cafe is what it is. So we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. We got Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, MN 350. We'll be right back. Stay with us, please.
When we heal from our traumas.
When we face our fears.
Let go of our addictions.
When we relearn our values.
When we live our teachings.
Respecting our elders.
Cherishing and honoring our children.
When we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey everyone, this portion of the show is brought to you by MN Sure. If you're looking for a way to afford health insurance in the new year, make sure you head over to mnsure.org. Most Minnesotans qualify for assistance paying with their health care and their prescriptions. Again, that's mnsure.org.
Hey, thanks, Ogama. Hey, we have Nancy Bolio on of MN350, Bemidji 350, and just all around a groovy person. And you're up there in the deep north. How cold are you?
Oh, dear, Robert. I haven't even looked. I just kind of take a look, see at all the houseplants I have and try to prepare myself of the warm weather coming and not focus on the cold. But, you know, I want to reflect on what Ogama just talked about, our homeless relatives. And, you know, it's usually the poor helping the poor. And, you know, sometimes we just got to dig a little deep, look in between the cushions and find a way to help support them. Because, you know, on Sunday, I dug deep and I'm poor, just like most of our relatives, but I went and gave what I could, and it meant a lot to them. And I normally don't give myself a shout out like that, but I felt, you know, hard times, the inflation, there's a lot of people out there that could really use support during this holiday season, during these cold weather temps. And, you know, this is the season of giving. It's more than gift giving and wanting that something you've wanted all year long. We have to learn to let go of those wants and help our people that have needs. And so this year I'm doing it a little bit different, and it's giving back to the people that need it the most. And I remember being there myself. So, it makes me feel better. And, you know, it really helps them too. And that's what it's really about.
And I remember being so poor, I couldn't pay attention.
Right. You know, and, you know, I just want to give a shout out to all the programs that were actually out there giving me a hand up and not a handout, and but really believing in me, because, again, you know, that's how I became the person that I am today. Just, you know, not in the world of work, but in my artistic ways and all kinds of goodness that I found out that I have. And me and my son just talked about this yesterday, how so much talent is lost because our people are, you know, left at the starting line. You ever watch that video where they, you know, the kids race for $100 and they start off by asking, if you have both parents in the house, step forward. You know, I was stuck at the start, and, you know, it was really difficult being, you know, a youth and wanting, you know, to be a better person, but I didn't have the opportunity to be the basketball star I wanted to be. But, you know, it's us that have to help make that difference and be there for our children. And so, you know, Robert, I have a overdue shout out, and I want to give that to, you know, my daughter, Katie North, my son-in-law, Tom Barrett, for their hard work and commitment in making the Red Lake Nation Youth Shelter possible. And the shelter just opened up recently in October. And the Red Lake Nation Youth Shelter provides free shelter that is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including holidays for youth ages 5 to 17 experiencing immediate personal or family crisis. And it's one of a kind, first of a kind thing that happened in Red Lake. And it was an honor to be there for the open house. And, you know, my daughter has a background in social work. She's a graduate of BSU. And just her upbringing with me, I used to be a foster mom, kind of opened the doors to my daughter getting herself involved in social work and wanting to make a difference, because I came from dysfunction. Most of my aunties and uncles and my mother, they were alcoholics. And it was the community at the Waite House in Minneapolis that came and saved us. And so I felt as an adult, I needed to give something back and then break the dysfunction that, you know, many of our families experience because of disparities that the system has given us. And so I want to thank my daughter for being a better mom than I was. And a big shout out to her partner, Tom, who has a background in social studies and political science. And he's the CEO of the Red Lake Boys and Girls Club. And he's also a school board member in Red Lake. And they both teach basketball for the Little League, the middle school, and the high school junior varsity. And both of these two are so committed, and they have so much passion to make a difference and be there for the kids who don't have a positive role model otherwise. And, you know, going back to what I was talking about, my childhood in Minneapolis, it was those people at that weight house that didn't ask questions and didn't put me in a place where I didn't belong in a foster care system. And they believed in me and my sisters. And I want to give a big shout out to Angel. And Angel, I'll never know or see her again. She was a Black woman. She had a big Afro, beautiful woman. And she took care of us when my mom couldn't, her in the White House. And so, you know, you ever hear of that thing, it takes a village to raise a child? There's a lot of truth. So a big shout out to Tom and Katie for making it possible. And they're fine examples of what we can do as everyday people to be that difference and inspire other people to do the same and have our role models for our children to look up to.
Well, I really feel like that was a great story. And what a great name. Angel was your angel. Those are great stories to hear and to play it for, pay it forward. And your kids are a reflection of you. And I know also he's a, your son-in-law is a rapper too. And he does good work and with the kids, and they all groove and dig on him too for that reason too, you know. So there's art all around, Nance.
Right. And, you know, many people know Tom as Thomas X. And, you know, I couldn't ask for, you know, a better example of a son-in-law, you know, and not to say that these are the perfect people in the whole world. You know, everybody has their issues. But, you know, when it comes to getting through those issues, those hard times and still being strong enough for the children really says a lot to me. And I couldn't be more grateful than having, you know, raised my children in the right way, despite the dysfunction I come from. And sometimes, you know, I have to be vulnerable and admit where I come from. And it's a sad past, but you know what? I took all those bad things and made something better for myself. And when I foster children, I always told them, no matter how bad it gets, you still have control of your thoughts and what you can do moving forward. So I think I was an inspiration to a lot of the foster kids that came through my home. And I primarily focused on our Native children because I know the mistreatment in the foster care system is really rough. And many of these non-Native homes have become the new residential homes, you know, residential schools, I should say, for our children. And I'm going to ask some of our relatives who can have capacity or make the capacity to be a foster parent, please do that because our children need us. And it is us, people like myself and my daughter and you know, to help make that difference and create those beautiful spaces where our children feel they have hope. You know, we all need hope, Robert.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, you know, we got a couple minutes here and again, great stories and a great feeling. And we always get a lot of comments when you're on, Nancy, a lot of positive comments. You know, Shantaya says she loves you. And I just want to switch gears here this last minute and we can talk about whatever you want. In the next segment is in Ogama's report. It seems like Winona LaDuke is the last person standing up there in court. Are they trying to make a example of her, or what have you heard up there?
You know, actually, Robert, I haven't been paying too much much attention lately, and you know, because I focus a lot on my work. But you know, I think Winona is a powerful woman, and I think they're intimidated by her and what she can bring to the table. So, a big shout out to her and all the water protectors that are, you know, still in the court system. And again, even our Firelight defendants are non-Native. Their case was turned down for a dismissal. So they too have to go into a court. Ooh, I don't even know when that's going to happen, but I know it's a trial court. And again, I'll have to be a witness, but you know, a big miigwech to all those water protectors. They were courageous. They sacrificed, you know, because we're all busy, but you know what? We really need to prioritize protecting our water and making sure that the seven generations have, you know, all the good things that we had. So again, you know, a big shout out to all the people still facing trial. And I think, you know, the judges come to an understanding that treaties still matter and we're still here. And our case proved to the state that the state of Minnesota lacks subject matter jurisdiction over the Anishinaabe protecting their natural resources on or off the reservation. And I think Clearwater County, and the White Earth Court kind of, you know, I should say Clearwater County itself, but the sheriff really understood that clean water makes sense to all living things.
Hey, we're here with Nancy Folio, Bemidji 350. We'll be right back after.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. The President of Ukraine visiting the U.S. Capitol.
A Capitol Police source tells me preparations are underway in case the Zelensky visit comes to pass tomorrow. Tomorrow is not just a trivial day here in Congress. They are trying to pass this $1.7 trillion spending plan.
CBS's Scott McFarland. Utility crews working to restore thousands of residents in Northern California after an early morning earthquake. Mark Giarducci is with the Governor's Office of Emergency Services.
Damage to homes, damage to critical infrastructure and lifelines, so water, power, and gas lines.
At least two people killed, 11 injured due to the quake. Prepare for another winter storm.
Winter storm watches already cover the upper Mississippi Valley into the Great Lakes region. Winter storm warnings go all the way on back into the northern sections of the Rockies.
WCBS radio meteorologist Greg Allen. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Check the forecast before you hit the road for Christmas. There's a winter storm watch for all of western and southern Wisconsin. Meteorologists say there's potential for a major storm. First, the snow is expected to start falling tomorrow night. Then the winds pick up Thursday into Friday. After that, frigid temperatures for the holiday weekend. Wind chills could be as low as 25 below. A Wanakee woman is sentenced to 8 years in prison for causing a fatal crash near Toma last year. Court documents say Carrie Herbst had more than twice the legal amount of alcohol in her blood when she drove onto Interstate 94 the wrong way and caused several vehicles to crash. One man died. In sports, the Packers keep their slim playoff hopes alive with a win over the Rams last night. The Bucks beat New Orleans. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And they
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's.
Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Blackshirt Sports Radio Network. We welcome all of you to Waukesha West High School, where your Blackshirts of Southie will take on crosstown rivals in this classic eight rivalry matchup tonight. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown. This is my colleague, my partner in crime, Connor Boston from Chicago.
Thank you.
Hates
Don.
The Celtics.
I don't actually, but
fine. All right. He does like this. Yeah. So we can call you Boston then. That's our friend Calvin back there at the offices of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios there at 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the NAMI building in downtown Waukesha, right around the corner from Theodore Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to recognize our suffragette heritage. We would also like to welcome those listeners from the Native Roots Radio Network, as Blackshirt Nation is well represented by Indigenous peoples, as well as the sons and daughters of the Northern Migration, the descendants of the Middle Passage, the Irish diaspora in America, and all the banished children of Eve. It is our honor and our duty to walk alongside our Native brethren through your struggles, triumphs, and achievements, and are proud to declare that Native issues are human issues.
And human issues are Native issues.
So we say who, and we invite you to join us for the rest of this game tonight and for the rest of this season. Blackshirt basketball has been represented this city quite proudly in recent years and has been symbolic of this city's journey of healing in the aftermath of the events of November 21st, 2021. This was a basketball team that lost 60 straight conference games before turning the program around two seasons ago with a winning record. And then last season, just about running the table and winning the Classic Eight and going within one game of making it to the state finals. And they're back with a vengeance in 2022 with two returning starters, All-State senior guards, Tyron Cook and Daniel Robinson, and a great supporting cast, a few returning juniors. Hasn't been the start that we've wanted. They're 2-4, 2-2 in conference, but non-conference games have been against real juggernauts, I guess you'd say state playoff quality teams. So Coach Richter, no patsies on his schedule, and it's great training for the Classic Eight, and we expect another great showdown tonight. Connor did a little homework on the Wolverines of Waukesha West. Connor, what do you have to tell us? What can we look for tonight from the Wolverines?
Well, it's looking like the player they're building their offense around is going to be Dominic Hill, the 6'2 guard, I believe.
That's right.
Go ahead. No, you can go. You can continue.
I'll say, yeah, he averaged almost 15 points per game last season.
Yeah, field goal percentage a little bit beneath 50%, which is great.
Absolutely.
I'm curious to see exactly what their offense is going to be, considering it's going to be player focused. Their height, they're looking to be around 5'10 to 6'3, so it's short ball. But in comparison to South, it should be a pretty equal game there. Yeah.
They have a 6'6 sophomore forward named Aiden Owosu-Asidu. Interesting to see if he gets some playing time and offers them some strength underneath. Mm-hmm. And they do have a 6'4 senior named Charlie Jackson, a forward. So it'll be interesting to see what role those two big men will play. As many of you know, our biggest forwards, our forwards get as tall as 6'3, and that starter Tommy Karinko and then senior Tak Tadioka, who comes off the bench. So we'll see, this should be an interesting matchup. It was a close game here last year. Last year, Waukesha West had a forward that stood 6'8", 6'9", heck of a player. Can't remember the name. His father's the volleyball coach at Carroll University, and he really made it a game last year. The Blackshirts did pull it out. They did. They swept the Wolverines last year, and you know, just like with the previous games with Muskego and Oconomowoc, who were also swept by Waukesha South last year. You know, these teams will be they'll be playing with a vengeance, with a lot of fire, and would love to avenge last year's losses. And no better time to do it than here in this holiday season. So we're looking forward to a humdinger. And we also have an added treat here. We're watching the tail end of the JV1 game. And it looks like the Blackshirts, they're pulling ahead 47-40 with 2:39 remaining. But it was a two-point game throughout the last 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be interesting to see how this one finishes out. So Blackshirts inbounding here. So, also a couple of public service announcements too, is that if you listen to my show this week in Waukesha last Saturday morning, I had Waukesha South super football dad, Jared Dable, and U.S. Attorney James Santel host of Morning Cannolis that follows my show on Saturday morning. And we are talking about the WIAA's decision not to realign the Classic 8 Conference in spite of a lot of the media attention and the heavy promotion from Waukesha South and Waukesha North had both petitioned to be removed from the conference for issues of health, safety, and fair play, and were completely ignored. And so we're really looking to make a big, even obnoxious gesture in really getting the word out to you know, Blackshirt Nation, as well as many people that will listen in state and local politics. I know some discussions will be made at tonight's city council meeting among the alders about giving them the option to make some public states individually in support of South and North and our the appeals that are being made. An appeal date is set for January 12th, and the two athletic directors for North and South will be showing up to Stevens Point, where the WIAA is headquartered, to make their appeals. And the big question is that only those two are allowed in. There's no public comment like you have in a city council or in any kind of public agency meeting. Mm-hmm. And that's upsetting to a lot of people in Blackshirt Nation because, you know, the more voices, the more ideas that are, the more specific arguments that are made, the more compelling case that we have. And sometimes, you know, as great a job as Dan Schreier does and his counterpart at North, you know, sometimes things get lost in translation when it's just, you know, those two guys representing a big portion of the city here. So, but we're wishing them well, and the fight goes on. And so listen to more discussion at that, hopefully at halftime, if Jared Dable shows up. Hey, also want to let you know that my show this Saturday morning has been recorded. It won't be live because of Christmas Eve, so that Calvin and Connor can have the day off to enjoy the holiday with family and loved ones. But do listen to it. Our guest is Robert Bo Blask, the new owner of Mia's, a downtown institution for many years. And Bo and I share holiday memories. So, and speaking of Bo, we see Coach Bo Richter walking around with the Blackshirts. They're getting ready. There's less than 2 minutes left in this JV1 game. And, you know, barring a complete meltdown, the Blackshirts should pull this off, winning by 5 with a minute 33 seconds left. As they're getting into the Carolina offense, which I like to see, they're just swinging the ball around, using the clock. And now a foul has been forced on Zayas DeWalt, the right guy to foul, I will believe. We call him the general because he will remind you of Syracuse legend Sherman Douglas with his style of play. So we will broadcast to you then the remainder of this game. Let's see if the general can add 2 more points and put this game on ice. It is a 1-on-1. He makes the first, so he gets the bonus. And Zayas came back in after getting his fourth foul with 6:35 left, so he had to sit out, but he appears to be pretty fresh. It's now a 6-point lead, minute 23. This is an important shot here. Makes the second one, so now it's a 7-point lead, thus creating a 3-score scenario for the Wolverines as they call a quick timeout to resettle. And we'll take a quick timeout too, Calvin, here on the Blackshirt Sports Radio Network. Don't go away. You hear anything? Calvin?
I can take a leak.
Calvin? Well, our apologies. I don't think we did end up going to break, but we're still here. Oh, there he is. Okay.
Yes, Don. I played. It was only like a 30-second break, but yeah, there were some ads.
Okay. We didn't hear anything. So that's why we're so. Hey,
you can hear me now, though.
I can hear you, and I can see you, and I love it when I can see you.
All right.
Because you're an inspiration, you know. So players come back out to the court. A minute 23 remaining. This is the JV1 game. The teaser. For those of you my age that remember when the Globetrotters would come before the NBA game, this is kind of the Globetrotters game. But on a much more serious level, as the Wolverines bring it up, number 23, Mason Lavelle, coach of the varsity, Coach Don Lavelle, or son of them, and misses. And young Morgan Schwartz gets the rebound and gets fouled. So he'll go and shoot. There's eight fouls, so it's still a 1-on-1 scenario here. As we see the Wolverines varsity on the corner. And so this is an extra treat when the JV1 games are close. I think the last time we did this, Connor, you might remember the Black Shirts came down. They were down by 20 against Whitnall. And Zayas DeWalt with a tie score threw a coast-to-coast shot right through the hoop to win the game. That was incredible.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I remember it.
That went wild on social media, too. So I was really happy for Zayas and the Black Shirts. And a lot of character coming down from such a big deficit like that against a great team and a great program.
Mm-hmm.
So a foul was called here, and the Wolverines are at the line trailing 49-42 with a minute left. Your shooter is number 33. A sophomore named Samuel Daly, guard. First shot by Daly, and that misses off the back of the rim, flies out. So second shot. You know, they like to see him make this one, so it's a two-score situation. Second shot from Daly, and that's a swish. So 49-43. And they get past the break. Giovanni Perea has it. Dishes it to Schwartz, back to Trey Carter, over to Max Hennis, over to Coast, back to Hennis, back to, and Trey Carter gets fouled by number 35, Mahambi Banyambi, the 6'2 sophomore. I hope I pronounced the name correctly. And Trey Carter will go to the line. He's been a lot of fun to watch so far this season, and he's someone that we expect in his junior year could make an immediate impact for the varsity team. His first one is a swish. Not much of an arc on that. Had a little speed on that. But it's true.
Yeah. So it matters, I guess.
50 seconds remaining. Yeah, I say it's on the books, it counts as a point.
Yep.
Ray Carter, second free throw. It's 50-43, and that goes through.
And that
so it's now an 8-point lead. No, yes, 8-point, 51-43. And Lavelle comes in, gives it over. Oh,
turnover.
An errant pass from Daly to Roloff, Alex Roloff. And Max Hennis will inbound it from the side.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Gives it to Kost, over to Morgan Schwartz, back to Kost. A zone press here from the Wolverines, and he gets it all the way down to Hennis. Hennis gets fouled, so Hennis will shoot. That's a 10th foul. So it is two shots automatically for the JV1 Black Shirts. So while we're watching Max Shue, we'll read off the rosters for both teams. Black Shirts include number 062 senior All-State guard Tyron Cook. Number one, as Schwartz misses the first one, 6'3 senior forward, number Tak Tadioka. Number two, 6'2 All-State senior guard Daniel Robinson. Number three, 5'10 senior guard Trey Duncan. Number four, 6'1 senior guard Trey Duncan. Ethan Check. Sorry about that. As Hennis makes the second shot, it's now a 9-point lead, 30 seconds and counting. And a long three misses, rebounded by the Black Shirts. And I think they're just going to let the clock wind down. It says it's pretty academic with 20 seconds left. So the rest of the black shirt lineup, number 5'6" junior guard, Giovanni Rios Ibarra. Number 10, 6'2" junior guard, Brighton Staub. Number 12, 6'3" junior forward, Evan Stout. Number 22, 6' senior guard, James Smith. As you hear the buzzer, the black shirts, JV1 team was victorious, as was the JV2 team. Number 24, the 5'11" junior guard, Charlie Moroz. Number 30, 5'11" junior guard, Pau Segui Perez. And number 24, 6'3" senior forward, Tommy Krinko. Calvin, tell us about the Waukesha West Wolverines, who are about to take the floor, just waiting for the JV1 teams to shake hands and congratulate each other on a great effort. Go ahead, Connor. Sorry, I don't.
Having some mic problems here. Sorry about that. But yeah, so the Waukesha West basketball roster, starting out as number one, Dominic Hill, guard, 6'2" senior. Number two, Carter Combs, guard, 6'1" junior. Number three, the 6'3" senior, Brady Foster. That's one of four Bradys on the team. Number four, Sam Cook. He is a Sam Cook is
great musician.
Yes. 6'2" junior forward, and then a number five, Jake Thompson, a 6'2" senior guard. Number 10, Tyler Evanson, a 6'3" freshman. He's the only freshman on the team. 6'3" freshman guard. Number 11, Kale Ide, which is he is a 6'1" junior guard. Number 12, Mayan Acevedo Ethier. He is a 6'2" junior. Number 14, Carter LaVale. He's another person, another player that this team is building their offense around. He's a 6'3" junior guard. Number 21, Lucas Duffick, 6'2" senior guard. Number 22, Brady Anderson, 5'11" junior guard. Number 23, Brady Rabe. 6'2" junior guard. And then number 24, Brady Catarazzo. Rounding out all the Bradys on the team, that's 5'11" junior. Number 31, Charlie Jackson, a 6'4" senior forward. 32, Jacob Chevy, 6'0" junior guard. Number 34, Aiden Owusu-Aisweru. He is a 6'6" sophomore. Number 44, Nate Stoic. He's a 6'3" junior forward. Blake Snyder is the manager. The head coach of the team is Don LaVale. Assistant coaches, Jeff Catarazzo, Jason Fager, Ben Hetzel, and Jordan Jung. Athletic director, Kyle Lemieux. And their athletic trainer, Missy Hansen. And that's going to be the roster for Waukesha West Wolverines.
I forgot to mention the South leadership. Head coach Bo Richter. Assistant coaches John Sakonis. Lee Montez, the Classic 8 Assistant Coach of the Year, 2021-22. Andy Karinko, Austin Steck, and Ben Bodart. Your athletic director and vice principal is Daniel Schreier. Your principal is Maria D'Amato. The other assistant principals are Liz Gould and Brian Groschek. And the superintendent of schools here in Waukesha is Dr. James Siebert. So, and it is a family affair here in the Shaw with the two rivalry teams playing. The West head coach, Don LaVale, represented by how many LaVales on that squad again, Connor? I know there was one on JV we just watched.
Yeah, it's just one. It's just Carter LaVale. But he is a big piece of
He's a good
of
football
offense.
Player, too, along with Carter Cole. So
that's good.
We saw those guys out in the gridiron. So some good athletes there. And I think now would be a good time, Calvin. Let's do some station identification here on the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network. We got it? Okay, we're back. Yeah, we're still having trouble listening to that from our end, so whatever we can do to fix that. Thanks, Calvin. So we're back here at Waukesha West as we watch both teams warm up and kind of getting a feel. Crowd starting to pack it in. We have another Tommy Glenn sighting along with his twin brother, Tyler. Tommy, one of the heroes, one of the starters on that front line for last year's Classic 8 championship team. Playing, he's home for a holiday break, plays basketball down the road from Beloit College, where he'll be joined next season by fellow Blackshirt Eric Teagues, who will be there on academic scholarship and playing baseball for the Buccaneers of Beloit. So always a great presence to see Tommy. He was at the game against Oconomowoc Friday. So as we get a good good snapshot there of young Daniel Robinson flashing that classic smile as he was running to get a loose ball coming our way. We are situated in the corner close to the Wolverine bench and the Wolverine fan side. The student section, fortunately for us, is across the way. They can get loud and fiery as any good student section. So that should be a lot of fun. Connor, you missed it last year when we won the game, and it was probably the first road win for us here at West in many years. A young Blackshirt student, former basketball player, and still member of the football team, Tyler Williams, somehow had a Blackshirt flag on a pole, and he ran it to the center court there and placed his marker down. And a member of the West faculty was not amused and tried removing him, but fortunately a couple of the South parents came down, along with Officer Josh, the student resource officer, who may be here on hand tonight, intervened respectfully and convinced this staff member that Tyler Williams is indeed a fine young man. And we've certainly endured a lot worse from the Wolverines when they come to our venues for sporting events. So what Tyler Williams did in comparison was very, very mild. So, we do expect, again, a lot of activity here among the student sections. We have both cheerleading squads here, which is unorthodox typically. It's usually the home cheerleading squad. So it's great to see him here because it is a crosstown rivalry. And who knows, maybe in the spirit of one Waukesha that's been very prevalent here in 2022, the two squads may combine on a routine, which would be kind of fun. So, again, it's a lot of it's just like your Civil War, brother against brother, cousin against cousin, neighbor against neighbor. So it should be a fun game. And we're going to take a quick break now here on the Blackshirt Sports Radio Network. And pretty soon we'll have the national anthem and the starting lineup. So don't go away.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
They started from the bottom.
Started.
Now they're the Classic 8 basketball champions.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Started from the bottom, now my whole team in. And they're back. Catch all the action as we broadcast live and local. The Waukesha South Blackshirts. Defending their title in this year's campaign against the toughest teams in the state here on the Blackshirt Basketball Radio Network, Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Shaw West High School, home of the Wolverines. Wolverines are in white tonight, and their colors are blue and white with some silver. And your black shirts are in their new red away uniforms. And West has a great sports tradition here. Connor, you probably figured that out by now. The arena here, the field house, is adorned with banners, state championship banners. And there's two in football. I see at least two. And two in cheerleading, several in women's gymnastics, and a few more in the other.